I have to admit, that last song basically said it all, so I thought I would just get up and say amen and let's go home. But it may be good to actually reaffirm it by the Word of God. So open your Bibles to Romans 6, because yes, that is exactly what we're going to be talking about this morning and next week. So here's what we're going to do, just kind of FYI as you're opening your Bibles and getting it going. We're going to be in Romans 6, 1 through 11 this morning. And then we're going to be in 12 through 23 next week. And then in 2 weeks, I will pause. And I want to go back to verses 3 and 4 and look at those in more detail. So I'm going to kind of go through them this morning briefly. You will not be satisfied with anything I say. But in 2 weeks, we'll come back and look at this topic of what it means to be baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ. So I promise you we'll do look at that in more detail. But this morning, Romans 6, 1 through 11. We're not starting over again. Romans 6, 1 through 11, let me read. Paul says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? No way, Jose. May it never be. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death in order that, just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. For we know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For the one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And so, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus." In my study this week, I came across this quote, and I thought, this is a perfect way to introduce Romans 6. I don't know who this guy is, W.H. Auden, but this is what he said. He said, "I like committing crimes. God likes forgiving them. Really, the world is perfectly arranged." I would say that if that's the attitude of a lot of people. When they hear about what God has done through Jesus Christ on the cross, their first thought is, well, God has forgiven me all my sins. This is a great arrangement. I'll just keep on sinning so that God's goodness, the cross, Jesus, grace, all of this is just magnified more and more, right?
Wrong.
This is what Paul needs to address. Because if you've been listening to Paul the whole time in Romans, you should get a discordant thought in your mind. Okay, I'm a sinner. I'm going to hell. Jesus died for my sins. My sins are forgiven. I've got it. That means I can keep on sinning because he'll keep on forgiving. This is awesome. To which Paul now turns and he addresses it head on. His answer is really twofold. First one is this: you do not understand the nature of sin. That's what he does in verses 1 through 11. And then next week he'll say, you don't understand the nature of grace. Grace is more than just forgiveness. It demands a new life. So let's properly define what sin is in relation to a believer, and let's properly define what grace is in relation to a believer. So that's what Paul is going to do here. So let me just break it down for you, all right? Chapter 6 can be broken down with three R's. I know you're getting tired of this, but it's just fun every week to come up with this. There's the reality. There's what I'd call the theological reality. This is true of us. that we have died to sin, we're alive to Christ in verses 1 through 10. Now, whether we fully understand that, Paul wants to drive this home. You can't sin, or you don't have to sin, because you have died to it. That's the reality. And then in verse 11, he says, consider, or the old translation used to say, reckon yourself dead to sin. If this is true, then begin to live like it. Then in verses 12 through 23, he will talk about the ruler. That there are two ways to live, if you will. There's two masters in your life. The one master is sin, and the one master is righteousness. But really fast, just remind yourselves here, say, if you're dead to sin, can sin still be your ruler? The answer, no. Now, let me say this before we dive into it. This will help us kind of process what Paul is saying. There's three ways that humanity relates to sin. The first one is this: I cannot not sin. That refers to every unbeliever. Every unbeliever who doesn't know Jesus, by nature, they're in Adam and they will sin. Every single day, it is their nature to sin. They cannot not sin. Now, as a believer, something awesome happens. I trust Jesus. I become a new creature in Christ. I have the Holy Spirit living in me. Now, here's the second reality relating to humanity. I no longer have to sin. I used to be able to say, that's all I do. That's all I know. That's what I am. I'm a sinner. I'm in Adam. What are you talking about? But now that I'm in Christ, remember that last week? Now that I'm in Christ, sin has been broken, and I no longer have to sin. But you ready for the third one? There is a day coming where I will no longer be able to sin. I cannot sin. Pause and just let that sink in for a moment. We live in the tension between I don't have to sin and yet I do. Someday I will no longer be able to sin. Can you imagine an eternity of every word you say, every thought you think, every action you do is in perfect harmony with the will of God? Now, are we there yet? Are you going, I'm not. I'm not either. So what do we do with this concept of, I'm a believer, I'm dead to sin, and yet I still sin, how this all go together? Well, let's start with the reality. And here's the reality. And we'll walk through it and try to explain it in some way. The reality is, I am dead to sin because of my union with Christ. That means his death is my death. His life is my life. I am so united to Christ that I have to identify with his death to sin, but I also get to identify with his new life that has been brought by his resurrection. All right? Let's start. Verse 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Last week's illustration, if the river overflowed beyond its banks, beyond what I can see, what did God do in his grace? He came and built a dam called Jesus that would stop all of the evil and sin. And so if that dam is stronger than anything else, why not keep on sinning so that dam looks wonderful? By no means, verse 2, how can we who have died to sin still live in it? Let me say this. This will help us to begin to understand what Paul is saying. I am dead to sin, but sin is not dead. That's everything. Let me say that again. I am dead to sin, but sin is not dead. In other words, just because I'm a believer and technically I am dead to the power of sin in my life, last time I checked, I still live where? In the environment of the world where there is what? Sin. And because I'm not able to not sin, right? I'm still going to be what? Tempted by what's out there. And because I'm not perfect yet, that temptation will come to me. And because I walk by the flesh and sometimes not by the Spirit, what's going to happen? I'm going to sin. But what Paul is saying is very simple. Here's the thing. You will, but I can just tell you something. You don't have to. Here's why. Keep reading verse 3, 4, and 5. Do you not know? Which means you should know this. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too may walk in newness of life. So, if we've been united with him, we'll also have a new life in him. Now, 2 weeks, I'll dive into this. So just let me say this initially. The word baptizo, baptize, means to immerse. It means to fully dip something into a liquid, usually water. So, for example, it was used in those days of a ship that had sunk and was what? Immersed by water. It was consumed by water. In many ways, it became one with the water. So if you think of baptism as a symbol of complete immersion in Christ, that's what Paul is saying. So if I'm in Christ, if I'm living his life, if I'm understanding his death, then I will look at myself and go, here's the reality. Jesus' death conquered sin. That death is my death. So when I look at sin, I look at sin and say, I am dead to you. Why? Jesus is dead to sin. I'm with Jesus. I too am dead to sin. That's what he says in verse 5. If we have been buried with him in death, we will what? Shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In those days, when someone died, you know what they did? They buried him. Crazy thought. Well, why bury? Because burial was proof that someone died. So what Paul says is, understand, when you died with Christ, in a sense, you were buried with him in that tomb to represent the reality that you have died to sin. What happened to Jesus 3 days later? He came out of the tomb and to what? To brand new life. It wasn't the same old Jesus. It was the glorified Jesus. He now lives a new life. When you were immersed with Christ in salvation, you became one with him. Paul is simply saying, let that sink in. So here's a fun question, because it's a great question. Well, how dead is dead? Because I'm dead to sin. So how dead is dead? Because please understand this. Some people could say, okay, it sounds like Paul is saying, I'm so dead to sin that I should never be able to sin again. Because, you ready? Dead is dead. That's a great, great thought. So let's process this. And I would say, in light of Paul's theology, in light of what he'll continue to say here, so let's understand, how does Paul see a believer's relationship to sin? Well, here it is. Number one, when I became a believer, the penalty of my sin was taken away. That's what we call justification. Remember, the whole idea is that when I'm justified, I stand before God's judgment throne, and in that moment of time, by faith, when I believe in his Son, he declares me not guilty. He acquits me of my sin, and the eternal penalty of my sin is what? Taken away. So when I stand before God, I stand as in a right relationship with him. Now, here's the thing that's really important. The penalty is taken away, And the power then of sin in my life is taken away. That's what we call sanctification, where I become more and more like Christ. But here's the thing that's really important. The presence of sin in my life is not gone. So the power of sin is broken and dead, but the presence of sin in my life is still what? Well alive. I live between the reality of sin is still present and someday it will not. So how dead is dead? The power of sin is dead, but the presence of sin is what? Still alive. So why do I sin? Because it's still alive. Okay, so I don't have to sin, but when I do sin, it's because if I sin and I don't think, why should I? It's because it still is there. Can I get rid of it? Can I like take a big spiritual toothbrush and like clean my insides out and get it out of here? No. That's what happens when Jesus comes back and we get our glorified bodies. That's when he does a thorough scrubbing. But until then, we still had the residue of sin. The presence is still here, but the beauty is the power of sin has been broken because I have the life of Christ living in me. So what Paul does is he says, okay, you were buried with Christ, you died with Christ, you were raised up with Christ, you have the life of Christ living in you. What he does then is he says that again in case you missed it. Paul does this a lot. So in verse 6 he says, okay, let me explain what I mean by dying with Christ. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Here's the idea. I'm going down the river and I'm in Adam. That's me. That's the old Jason. When I became a believer, that old person died. What I mean by that is what I used to be, what I used to think, how I used to live, that power was broken in my life. And now that I'm in Jesus, I have his power that looks at the old self and says, you no longer have to be who you were. It has been crucified. So let's like play a fun mind game. I'm standing in front of a moment of temptation and sin. You know, that juicy word that I want to say to my secretary, you know, at work, not Lori, I would never say anything like that, or to my wife or to my husband, that little juicy thought or word. Freeze time and do this. Picture Jesus on the cross, bleeding and dying, and then do what? You're there too. His death is now my death, and the sin that I want to commit has been nailed to the cross. I do not have to do that. I have been crucified with Christ, so that this body of sin, and it doesn't just mean like physical body, as in the body is bad, the mind is good. The thought of body of sin refers to just all of who you are, all your thoughts, your deeds, everything has been brought to nothing. In other words, it has been destroyed so that we no longer have to be slaves to sin. You have been set free. Jason, I don't feel set free. Jason, I don't feel like the chains are really broken. I don't feel like the power of sin is broken in my life. You know what I'm going to tell you? I know. Amen. Me too. Join the club. What Paul is saying here is we all feel this tension, but what we need to get into our minds, is we're dead to sin. We're dead to sin. We're dead to sin. We're dead to sin. Just a mantra like we're dead to sin. That's reality. Whether you feel or not does not matter. Do you feel justified right now? Do you feel like I'm in a right standing with God right now, that no matter what the world says, he looks at me and says, you are my child, you're right before me. Do you feel that right now? I really don't. Doesn't matter whether you do or not, it is true. If you believed in Christ by faith, that is a reality. Period. I don't feel dead to sin. Don't care. Gee, Jason, you're getting feisty. No, Paul is. He's just trying to make the point. You're dead to sin. So how about Ephesians 4? Assuming that you have heard about him or were taught in him as a truth within Jesus, to put off your old self. See, the old self was put off at the cross, but what happens? When I sin, I need to remind myself that's the old Jason, that's the old Adam, so I need to continue to do what in my life? Continue to put him off, which belongs to your former manner of life. It's corrupt through deceitful desires. And be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self. I thought I am the new Jesus. You are the new you, but what do you have to do every day? Remind yourself that this is true. Created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And so because Jesus lives, verse 8, I get to live as well. For if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. Here's what Paul is saying. It's redundant, but you got to get it. Where is Jesus right now? Jesus is alive. And let me ask you a simple question. Is Jesus sinning right now? What's Jesus doing right now? Every split second of eternity is in perfect accord with the will of God. That's what Jesus is doing right now. So if that's Jesus' life right now, and I'm united to that life, what can I potentially be doing right now? The perfect will of God, right? That's what Paul is. I'm not doing it. I know. But that's the point. Or to put it maybe a different way, Galatians 1:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is I who no longer live, but Christ lives in me. I mean, you could just see Paul like getting himself amped up. This is true. In the life I now live in the flesh, by God I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Or how about 2 Corinthians 5? For the love of Christ controls us because we have concluded this, the one has died for all, therefore all have died to sin. And if he died for all, that those who live may no longer what? Live for themselves, but for him who is raised from the dead for their sake. Now here's the good stuff. I love verses 9 and 10 because Paul begins to flesh out the beauty of this. I'm alive in Christ. And because I'm alive in Christ, that means sin will not win in the end. Verse 9. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will no longer die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Wait, what is Paul saying here? Because you have the resurrection power and life of Christ in you, is sin a death knell to you? Let me say that again. That's what Paul is saying. Because I am united with the resurrection of Jesus, which means I am guaranteed an eternal life, does sin destroy in this moment my relationship with God? The answer is no. Keep reading, verse 10, because that's what he means. For the death he died to sin. In other words, when Jesus died, he took care of sin, past, present, and future. He died for all sins of all time, once for all, but the life that he lives, he now lives to God. So if I'm in Christ's death, if I'm in Christ's resurrection, and he's living today before the Father's throne, before him, and I'm united to him, that means someday, regardless of what happens in this life, I'll be with him, and sin will be done. Yes. So, if that's true, are you ready? Verse 11. So you must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word consider, I like the word reckoning, but the word consider is the same word Paul used back in chapter 4, where he said that we had been reckoned or counted righteous. It is an accounting term. So the idea, if you remember all the way back in chapter 4, is there's two columns. There's a column that says righteous before God and a column that says a sinner before God. And before Christ, what column did we live in? The column that says I was counting myself, I was adding to this column that said I'm a sinner condemned by God. Now that I'm a believer in Jesus, what happens? That whole column was what? Wiped out. And now I look over this column and it's filled with what? My righteousness? No, but what? God declares me righteous. So Paul says, step back. Do you see this column that says sin over here? Nope, gone. You see this column that says righteous? Yes, that's true. So reckon yourself, count yourself, see that as true in your life and what? Live it. But I struggle with that. I know, that's not the point right now. The struggle will come in chapter 7. But for now, this is the reality of your life. You are dead to sin and alive to Christ. You no longer have to sin. So I'm going to get really practical. I'm not going to tell you to close your Bibles. But I'm going to get like down practical in our kitchens together to say, okay, so if this is all true, what do I do? What do I do with my sin? If I am dead to sin, and I'm going through my day, and I'm doing good, and then the temptation comes because sin is still alive, even though I'm dead to it, right? And I say that word to my wife that I should not say. Well, who cares? Grace, right? No, we talk, no, you can't think that way. What do I do with it? Two thoughts. Number one, guess what you should do with every sin? Confess it. So rather than, note this, rather than sinning and going, oh, that's so stupid, I'll never die, just done. Go back to bed, pull up the sheets, and just never ever get out again. What does God want us to do with our sin? If it's covered on the cross, then we should do what? Recognize that. So 1 John 1:9, we know it, but do we ever live by it? If we confess our sins, what is he doing? I'll get back to you. Let me think about this. You know, Jason, I'm just sick and tired of this. This is the 100th time today that you have come to me and said, will you forgive me? 101 and I'm done. Is that what John says? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I hate my sin. So does God. And the joy of forgiveness is, he says, I hate it so much that I'll forgive and cleanse you once again. That's grace, you know? Okay, so I confess, Jason. What's the next step? Keep pressing on. What? Okay, Philippians 3, just listen. Paul says in Philippians 3:11, that by any means possible, I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. What's he mean? Well, when I am in heaven, I will no longer what? Sin. I'll be with Jesus. So Paul's great goal in life is to be like Jesus. I want to be now what I will be someday. I want to be perfect. But keep reading. Not that I have already obtained it. You mean Paul sinned? Yes. Really? The guy who just told me I'm dead to sin sinned? Yeah. I bet you if you talk to Mark and Barnabas and people and Timothy that lived with Paul, they'd be like, yeah, Paul sinned. He said a really mean word to me the other day. It was not nice. So what do you do, Paul? Well, I haven't become perfect. You mean sin still resides in your body, Paul? Mm-hmm. But what do? I press on to make that future day my own because Jesus has what? Made me his own. I love that. I'm in Christ, he says. And so, brothers, this is Paul. I do not consider that I have made it my own. I have not become perfect. Can I just encourage you for a moment? If Paul was not perfect, you ain't either, and I'm not. So take heart. So what do I do? But here's one thing I do. I forget what lies behind. I just sinned. I'm struggling. I forget because I've been forgiven of what lies behind just even 5 seconds ago. And I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on in the Christian life. Why? Because the goal that will come someday when Jesus calls me to be with himself. I press on. But that's hard. Yes. But in your relationship with Christ, you've been crucified with him. Your sins are forgiven, so confess them once again. And then once you do that, lift up your head and keep pressing on. Okay, Jason, so one last question. If that's true, how do I then move forward in my sins? 4 thoughts and we're done. 4 quick thoughts. Number one, stop beating yourself up. Now, I'm going to balance that out in a moment, but can I just begin by saying, the hardest thing I feel as a pastor, when people come to me, they come with a proper attitude of hating their sin. But when they feel like they're overwhelmed by it and there's no hope in the midst of it, they just basically give up and they just beat themselves up. You just don't. I am such a bad person. You mean you struggle with sin? No, I'm a bad... No, that's not what I asked you. You struggle with sin. Well, yes. Yes. Stop beating yourself up to think, note this, to think that when you do sin, your relationship with God somehow changes, that he loves you less, that he puts you in time out, that he spanks you and hates you and says you're no longer... I mean, none of that is true. So stop beating yourself up, but can I also say, here's the balance, stop making excuses. You know, that's the other side of it is, well, you know, I just struggle with sin, so who cares? Well, that would deny Romans 6, you're dead to sin. The power of sin has been broken in your life, so now by the power of the Spirit who lives in you, I can do what? I can fight this battle. So stop making excuses. Well, you know my past. It stunk. And your past undoubtedly created all these habits and how you think that does affect you today. Absolutely. Amen. That is true. Now here's the reminder. The old man is dead. No, he's still, oh man, I remember all those days and all the things that affects me today. But that truth is I am dead. I don't have to live like I used to live. So Jason, stop blaming your parents, you know? Stop blaming your wife who just doesn't love you like she should. Stop blaming your bosses at work because they're just jerks. And just stop blaming everybody and recognize what? At the end of the day, I sin because I choose to sin. That's just it. So, 2 last thoughts. Instead of beating yourself up, and then instead of making excuses, here's what I have decided to do in my life, because I think that's what Paul says in Philippians 3, is press into the battle. I mean, seriously, you wake up in the morning, and I don't think, I'm going to have a victorious day today. I'm just going to be like Jesus. How long does that last? 3rd cup of coffee in. But one thing I do know is I forget what lies behind until the Lord takes me home. I'm pressing into this battle because that's what God calls me to do. And he's empowered me to do it. I'm not doing this on my own. It's not like he says, hey, go to war. I'm going to sit back and hope you do well. He what? All the armor of God I have the Spirit of God living in me. So by golly, press into the battle because that's what he wants. And here's why, and then we're done. because in the end, you have won. That's what Paul means. You're united with his death, so you're dead to sin. But you're united in his present life, which leads to a future life. So even if you lose the battles from time to time, here's the beauty. Because of Christ's victory on the cross and his resurrection, the future is guaranteed. Now, let me tell you something. If you go into a war knowing you're going to win, if you get blown up from time to time, bring it on. I will confess that sin. I will tell God I hate it once again. I will press on to be more like him. But let me tell you something. At the end of time, I'd be missing two legs and maybe two arms, but I won. Verse 5. For if you have been united with him in a death like his, beloved, we have been united in his resurrection, and someday we will be united with him forever, and the presence of sin will be gone. But until that day, press on. So, Father, thank you for this reminder once again of the truth of this mystery that I'm united with Christ. And Father, it's hard to like, how does this look? I don't know how it looks. I just know it's true. It's just real. It is a great reality in my life. And because I'm united to Christ, I am dead to sin like he is dead to sin. And I'm alive to righteousness as he is alive to righteousness. And the Spirit lives in me to conquer that power of sin and to live for him. Father, that is true regardless of what I think, feel, or even know. So, Father, thank you for the resurrection power that we have living in us. And let us embrace that. Let us press into the battle until you come and take us home and tell us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen.